listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table. Last session at the Nasty Table.
Hi, dogs.
Big Boss just wanted to know if you were interested in any more work. Search and rescue. He's been missing a few days. Robin's been putting in some legwork. Think he's tracked down, you know, where this guy might be. So there's a drug den that he goes to a lot. It's called the Merc, in the deck of a ship that they call the Bloodwake. It's ran by a guy named Captain Hollow.
You know if he happens to be on the premises?
He owes us a lot of money. You said you were gonna sell me to Esma.
Where did you come from?
Do not speak our tongue. No, oh no. Esma is gonna eat him. Bring him back. If you don't come back.
We can't.
Why can't we?
I think there's other opportunities.
Cool.
Not bad.
Thanks.
You can thank our not sponsors. Because they don't want to fucking sponsor us. I don't know why.
Thanks.
I think that we're a cool, family-friendly, like, welcoming podcast that would allow any kind of advertiser to step into here.
So, if she asked, would you fuck her armpits?
I would fuck her armpits. Because I think I've thought about it. I don't know if I just want to, like, if I want to fuck them or I want to lick them. Oh. We have been away from the table for 3 weeks, so what I would like to do is get into a recap of that last session. So, stepping through the muttering streets of the Dock Ward, back to your tavern, the four of you quickly return. The night streets of King Cadian are fairly quiet, reflecting a city of exhausted merchants and laborers who have little time for life after dark. In front of the tavern that you've called home for the past few days, the door is ajar, held open by a small rock. It's later at night. It's been dark for a decent amount of time, but there still are a decent scattering of patrons at the bar, along with a figure that you guys recognize, the person referred to as Dogs, also sitting kind of off to the side. Looks like he's nursing a drink. You guys go up to your room?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Up to your rooms. Any conversations before you guys bed down for the night?
Nah.
No, just meditate and go to bed.
To sleep. You awake in the morning. 3 days until Asan is set to arrive. What do you guys want to do?
Okay, I have two things that I'm gonna. I don't want to. Even act them out. That I want to do for the next 3 days.
Okay, bookkeeping stuff. Hand wave bookkeeping,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
What do you
want to
do?
Well, I guess a day and a half, whatever. I want to extensively look into, I guess, bookkeeping at the guild hall. Look into Joshua.
Okay.
The other half, I want to spend time meditating, like hard, you know. And I don't know if we want to. Is there any type of, like, advantage I could gain by, like, spending time working, like, meditating and working on ki?
Every time you meditate, I keep track of that.
Okay.
And I'll chime in if there's any breakthroughs.
Okay, cool. I would like to spend an extended period of time.
Okay.
Doing that.
Now, are you looking into Joshua and then practicing and focusing on meditation?
Yeah.
Or are you. Okay, okay. So we'll pick up with that. Anything that you guys want to do over the next 3 days?
Yeah, I want to see if I can find a restaurant or like a stand that makes food and see if I could pawn off these two of my jars of honey for however much rations I think I can get.
Okay. All right. And you guys?
I'm just going to spend time with our steed.
Spending more time with the mule?
Yep.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, I want to be praying a bit more throughout these next couple days. But that's pretty much it. Other than that, just maybe I'll be following Rook around.
Okay. So, starting first with Levi, how many jars of honey do you have?
I have three. I'm going to try to sell two of them off.
Okay, so mechanically, each jar of honey acts as one ration, one day's worth of ration. But you're able to find somebody who's willing to give you 4 days' worth of rations for two jars of honey.
All right, I'll take that.
Okay, you're able to make that trade easy enough, keeping the last one for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Probably takes you about a day to do.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that you want to do during those other days?
I don't spot any school children while I'm selling my honey.
At the vendor, you finish your transaction, put your coins into your coin purse, look off to the right to see an alleyway with a couple children beating what looks like a barrel with a couple sticks. Four of them circle this barrel, taking turns beating this barrel with sticks.
Head down the alley.
Getting closer, look to be between 5 to... The oldest looks maybe 10.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo.
Hey, y'all want to see something?
Roll persuade with disadvantage.
Why?
Because you're a creep.
He said, hey, yo, ma.
If you said anything else other than Ayo, y'all want to see something.
What am I rolling?
Persuade. Persuasion.
Fuck. 15.
The biggest one kind of takes a couple hesitant steps forward. Huh?
Y'all got, like, parent, guardian, maybe, like, a teacher or priest? Anybody that's really been pissing you off? Somebody you want to mess with?
Yeah, I hate my mom.
Yeah. Y'all want to see some?
Mike Finn, you are not. You're not selling this right, dude. I can't fucking look at you with a straight face when you're doing that fucking look at me.
I pull out my little red hat, and I open it up.
What is it?
And I
invoke it.
And I take his hand and I put his hand on the hat. What are those? What are those little grimy creatures? Little things that run around.
Mice.
Nah, what's the other one?
Rats?
As he says rat, a rat appears.
Rat crawls quickly to the edge of the hat, which was empty, seemingly appearing from thin air, and it bounds over the edge of the hat and flops into the sand below on its back, scurries back onto its paws, and begins sprinting away. And he peels his hand back, just kind of like looks at you a little scared. What was that?
Now, come on. What kind of damage can you do with this?
It makes rats.
Make any little vermin you think of. But anywhere you want it.
Making a roll. Can you eat them?
If you so please. Yeah.
They're real?
Ask your boy. He's over there.
And it's, like, running against, like, the edge of the wall, and the little boy just kind of, like, takes one quick, swift kick, and the rat, like, fucking explodes, pops, and he looks down at it. Nods towards the bigger kid, who looks back at you. Is this magic?
Hell yeah, it's magic, boys.
How much?
How much gold do you think you and those fellas can muster by the end of the day?
Turn around, and they each take turns, like, digging in their pockets, and the other kids, kind of engrossed in this, walk up and, like, seem to dump coins into the bigger one's hands. He turns around, and he's got a couple coins in his hands and looks at you kind of longingly. You look down to see his hands are full of maybe a combined 2 silver worth of copper pieces.
Now it's going to be a little more than that.
That's all we have.
Well, let's see what you boys can scrounge up in the next 24 hours. I'll meet you back here tomorrow. Maybe thinking about that church down the street, your parents, anybody who's got a little extra change.
Roll one more persuasion check.
Is this one disadvantaged?
Nope.
13.
Okay. Okay. Meet you here?
Right here. right where the sun's sitting right now.
He looks up, turns around, looks at the other kids who are just kind of like staring at him. And he looks like he's thinking for a second. He licks his lips and begins to run away.
Scrounge up my hat and saunter back the other way.
As you begin walking back, the other three seem to follow him. So, heading back to the tavern?
Yeah.
Okay. Honto, you say you're going to look into Joshua. How exactly do you go about doing that? Do you just ask around, or how do you do that?
I go to the guild hall, and then I also I had been in like a whatever like public, I guess I said, I don't know if we said it was a park or gardens, where I had like met him meditating mm-hmm. initially.
Yeah.
I know he frequented there to look for people to recruit. So I kind of go there as well to ask around, like, you know, investigate, and then also at the guild, like paperwork, like more hard stuff.
Mm-hmm. Do me a favor, roll investigation with advantage.
Nat 20.
It's
the new dice. First roll.
Let's go.
pretty juicy. So you get some information just kind of walking around the public gardens there. There are some people who do know of Joshua, have heard about him. The important things to know in any conversations with these people is, one, they say nothing but good things about him, and two, they have stories of him going back quite a while. To maybe 2.5 years of people saying, yeah, I've interacted with him before, he was always friendly talking to him, you know. So that's important to know. Going to the Adventurers Guild, you know, you do kind of take a look around, try to ask around, and also try to get your hands on paper documentation. And you're approached by Brewster, who steps up.
I've heard you're looking into your friend Joshua.
Have you seen him at all?
No, we haven't. But we had someone else kind of take a look around. Gumshoe, his name was, asking questions about you. And Joshua as well. Yeah. It seems he's missing.
You have his records. He was really here, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I remember the day he joined. He joined with a few other people.
Could I see his profile?
Yeah.
I really just want his character sheet, not like abilities, but like physical description, like
yep.
where he's from, like all that
yeah.
basic stats. I just want to know all that about him so I can like be so sure about who he is.
Yep. So you, and we'll kind of expedite a little bit, but Brewster gives you access to documents that detail the following. Joshua, first of all, is a C-ranking member of the Adventurers Guild of Ticinia. He joined the Adventurers Guild 3 years ago. It details that he joined the Adventurers Guild the same day with four other people, and they formed a party that they called the Wayfair Lotus. It has information on the people that he joined with as well. Additionally, this party, the Wayfair Lotus, undertook a fair amount of quests. They would always work together until 18 months ago, when three of the members of that party were killed in action during a quest in the Grand Urg. The remaining two, Joshua and another person, the other person resigned from the guild and traveled to Huel Sea, and Joshua had only been reported to take solo jobs from there on out.
Give me that list. What were their names?
The members of the Wayfair Lotus include Joshua, a human named Jinro, another human named Vasho, a water genasi named Toll Tidewalker, and a tabaxi named Stillfang. Vasho, Toll, and Stillfang were reported killed in action. Jinro resigned and reportedly traveled to Huel Sea, and Joshua had only taken solo jobs from there out. This was 18 months ago.
Is there any details on the mission that they died on?
No.
Okay.
There is not. And if you ask Brewster about it, he doesn't have recollection of it, but he remembers them going out, and he remembers the two returning. Beyond that, there's further description into their party, known as the Wayfarer Lotus, that describe all of their fighting styles as being martial and monastic in description. It also details a basic description of Joshua, hair color, eye color, as well as some details on his fighting style, but it is fairly vague. Just strictly describing it as a martial, you know, bare fist type of fighting style.
Jinro was a human, you said?
Jinro was a human. Jinro, Vasho were both humans. Toll Tidewalker was a water genasi, and Stillfang was a tabaxi.
Okay, that's it.
So, the remaining time out of those 3 days, you're going to spend just meditating? Practicing meditation?
Yeah.
Okay. For the sake of me not role-playing a child, if you do return to that spot on that following day, you are greeted by the larger child, about 10 years old, who presents you with 1 gold piece, 5 silver pieces. And asks, is it enough?
We'll see. The payment comes by the charge. How many are left in it? How many critters? So for this, I can get you 2 more. 2 more charges in it.
2 more rats?
Whatever you need. Whatever little vermin you want.
But I thought it just makes them.
For a limited time. You think there's infinite rats in the world?
It's magic. I.
These magic rats.
No, I don't. I thought it could just make rats.
How much 2 rats worth to you?
Nothing. My family's hungry, and I thought that we could eat the rats. I don't want to use them to. Whatever you say.
I thought you kids was ready to have fun.
Look over at the kids who are just kind of like peeking over from the side of the corner, just kind of like barely peeking over, almost scared a little bit.
Ain't no kids trying to have fun these days.
One of them peeks their head back in, and the kid in front of you just, I don't want it.
I put on my rat hat and I walk away.
rat cap.
Putting back on your rat cap and walking away. Kid just kind of watches as you walk away. Back to the tavern?
Fuck these kids.
$150 fucking dollars. What kid do you think? Never mind. Not doing it. I'm not doing it.
All right.
I'm trying to entertain it, Mike Finn. I'm trying to let you play with your fucking kids, okay?
All right. It's worth 300 gold in the book. We're 300 gold in the book.
You shouldn't have told him about the charges.
Well,
and also, it's a fucking vagrant child.
I was going to say, how much fucking
if
gold
if you
think
don't
he
have 300
get?
Fucking gold, how much do you think a wandering
I was trying to sell for $1.50.
$1.50.
My God.
That's a deep discount. I didn't know he just wanted to eat the fucking rats. I thought he wanted to have fun.
He could have just caught rats all day.
It would have made $1.50. God damn. God damn.
He's
fucking greedy. He could have
just trapped for
fucking
rats.
Greedy kids.
Greedy, starving kids, man.
Fucking God. Somebody will appreciate my rat hat.
This greedy poor.
Rook appreciates
I wasted
it.
A rat on him, too.
Unreal.
No. Actually, sorry. Can I go to the Adventurer's Guild instead?
Yeah. What do you want to do?
One last mail check before we go out.
So you step up to the clerk, who looks back up, recognizes you. What can I help you with?
I was just checking, see if anybody in my party had anything that came through.
Yeah, let me check real quick. We just had a delivery this morning. I'm still trying to go through it. She kind of scurries off. Comes back with what looks like a fairly large wrapped parcel. This is for Leviticus Cain.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
She kind of pushes it through the slot.
Okay. Anything else? Nobody else in the party?
No, that's it.
Okay.
We also still have you guys under, Adventuring Guild Party Number 4. Is that still correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
Can I go to, like, a dimly lit corner of this building?
Yep.
And open up my parcel?
Open up your parcel. Would you like me to reveal to the table what is in this parcel?
Yeah.
Running your fingernail along the edges to peel off the edges of the paper, and opening up the parcel reveals two long cylindrical tubes, of which you are personally accustomed to and your party has seen you make use of before. They are empty. Inside is not a note, not a return address.
Okay. All right. Head back to the tavern.
Okay. Back to the tavern. Anything else that you guys do for the remainder of these? Now we'd say it's probably about one night, one day, and one more night. So two nights, one day. Anything else you guys want to do?
I imagine we're all, like, at some level, like, talking about, like, what we did kind of thing, like, reconvening at some point. Am I able to... Well, I want to go back to where Levi exchange his jars of honey for rations and try to do the same thing.
Okay, yeah, and it's easy enough to do that. You're able to get the same deal. Two jars of honey for 4 days worth of rations.
Can I give him 3 jars of honey for 6 days of rations?
Yep. He allows you to do that too.
All right. That's all.
Okay. You guys end that night, wake up the next day. When you go to sleep tonight, you will awake on the day that you are supposed to reconvene with Asan. So this is your final day that you have paid for at the tavern, and also lining up with when you are expecting to leave. Anything that you guys want to do on this final day, other than Honto continuing to practice his meditation, Rook bonding with the mule, and Kree, I know that you said you're praying, but is there anything else specific that you guys want to do?
How many days has it been since we saw Captain Hollow?
2 full days.
Okay, and it's been 2 full days, and they said he would be sold in 2 days. That's it. But I do want to say, like, when I am saying my prayer, like, the past, like, night or two, it has been less about, like, what Kree's been praying about before, and now just like, should I fucking do it? Like, do you want me to do it? I will do it without question if you make me go there and kill him. Like, asking about killing Captain Hollow.
A level of intensity that you feel in, like, your chest, and this anger that boils from your neck downward. You feel it, and this just blankness that just hangs in the air afterwards, as if you're shouting into a chasm and hearing nothing back at all. Rub your fingers along the edges of some of your tattoos, and they're just cold.
Okay.
To mention as well, if you guys do step outside, go run errands, whatever the case is, every single time that you guys are there, Dogs is seemingly there as well. You get the sense, almost, you know, without even needing to ask around or anything like that, he's likely staying here. In bonding with the mule, is there anything specific that you do, or just spending time with him and kind of getting accustomed to his behavior and you know, how he acts?
that, but also, like, I'm scurrying around and I'm trying to find my way to get, like, free little vegetables to bring them back. Like, I'm, like, smuggling little snacks for them and shit.
Yeah, and it's easy enough to, like, take bits of whatever breakfast that's provided in the morning, mm-hmm. any kind of, like, bits and baubles that you're able to feed him, and he eats them happily. Going to bed for that final night?
Yep.
You guys sleep, awake in the morning, expecting to check out. The sun is shining through both of your windows. Anything that you guys want to do?
Yeah, I want to repackage, kind of replace these tubes, these empty tubes, with the one that I came with full and the other one that has a little bit of a basilisk soul in it. Wrap them up in the same package as tightly as I can. Some of my leftover string to tie tight, and along with 4 gold in the package in a little sack.
Mm-hmm.
And then replace my empty tubes.
Okay. And you're with Honto, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Honto, you see him go through that process. Maybe you're meditating and don't notice, but regardless, that occurs.
As we're getting ready to go, I want to put like 3 silver on the table in our hotel room for the poor bastard that has to just bring a new bed in here and take this torn to shreds bed out.
It's getting worse every single night too. At this point, it's just a pile of down feathers.
Rook doesn't know what you're talking about. That's how his bed at home is.
Yeah, I'll throw like 3 silver on the table.
Okay. Reconvening out of your rooms, you guys are still on that top floor, the 4 of you together again.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go meet him, right? Just go right there.
Yep.
Making your way downstairs?
Yeah.
Downstairs, making your way down the steps, you see breakfast being served to patrons, and you see the man, the Quetzalborn that you have interacted with, referred to as Asan, sitting at the bar. Looks like he's eating a bowl of oatmeal or maybe some sort of gruel. But he looks up with his weathered beak as you guys make your way down, gives you guys a nod, kind of pushes the bowl forward a little bit, puts down a couple pieces of copper and stands up, brushes off. You notice he's wearing like overalls, steps towards the 4 of you. Are we ready?
I believe so.
Ready to go.
So, the travel into the Scorch was uneventful. I return with our new friend in tow. He's outside, tending to his steed. His name is Bentivenia. To give a little background, I want to make sure that you are all comfortable with this. He is a paladin. He worships a god that they call Hanio. I mentioned before that I had owed him some work. A few months ago, I was in the desert. My own stupidity, I was short on water. Bentivenia, he helped me. He's a good man. But the paladins that he belonged to, they are a little intense, but Bentivenia is nice. He's a little quiet, maybe a little shy, but he is a good man. Were you able to procure beasts of burden?
Oh, you mean the mule?
And you were able to purchase one?
Of course.
And my brother was able to help you?
Yeah. Very nice man.
Good. Good. Well, shall we go?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Ready to go.
Let's.
Can I go to the bartender real quick?
Yeah, bartender looks up as you kind of step up.
One more turnip, please.
Roll persuade. With disadvantage because he knows about the bed.
Fuck.
baby.
15.
15. He reaches under the counter, takes out turnip, and hands it out to you. Next time you stay here, I'm giving you a bed full of rocks.
I flick him a copper.
Takes it and sticks it in his pocket. And it looks like he's laughing a little bit about it.
And I go.
Making your way outside?
Oh, can I scamper upstairs, steal the rest of the fruit that's in all the bowls?
There's none. Oh, they have not refilled it for you.
This fucking mule's going to be so fat. Strong.
And then, yeah, load up
big
their
and strong
caravan.
Making your way outside, you see a few things. First of all is a ox-drawn wagon. There are two large-looking cattle that seem to be pulling a wagon, and connected to the back of this wagon are two leashes that are connected to two camels as well. They have saddlebags on them. They look like they're not overburdened, but definitely carrying a load. But more notably, kind of next to, almost like if it were a parking lot parked next to your guys' mule and cart, there is a figure who is fixing, almost like retightening a saddle upon a massive horse-sized tortoise.
The fuck?
Figure doing this is head to toe in steel armor that looks like well-maintained, maybe even polished, but it still has dents and scratches in it. You also see on his hip, and you're looking at the back of this figure, there is a sheath that likely contains a sword, as you can kind of see a red stained pommel sticking out of it. The figure turns around as he finishes tightening the saddle on this massive tortoise. Gives the tortoise a pat on the back of the neck. And you can see his helmet is on and his visor is flipped down, covering his face, but this thin slit that goes across the top of it, you can see his eyes from beneath it. He kind of just gives you guys a solid nod and turns back to the tortoise. Asan, coming out behind you guys, says, "This is my caravan with the ox and the camels. Before we do make our way out, I just want to give a little idea of what the plan is. Like I said, the travel to Fort Chasm should take only 3 weeks. But I do plan to make a single stop. Avon Castillo. It's the castle for the nobility that runs the area. There is a blacksmith who's an associate of mine there. I plan to have him repair an axle for me, a backup axle that I carry. The axle that I have is fine, but I think that my replacement should always be in fine shape. So, the travel to there, Avon Castillo, it's on the edge of Trasul. Should take us maybe 10 to 14 days, depending on travel conditions. And from there, we'll head south to Fort Chasm for the remaining week and a half of travel. We shouldn't expect any trouble for the first few days of travel. Hopefully, we shouldn't expect any trouble at all. But there is a reason you've been hired. Dangers in the area and whatnot. The further we get from King Kadeen, the more dangerous it will become. Bentavenia has mentioned that there was sightings of Cactus Joe in the area, so we should be on guard regardless.
Cactus Joe, little bitch. Rook did not say that. So Bentavenia rides a tortoise? Now that I've seen this, can I turn into it one day?
Maybe. But you definitely seen it.
Right. That's all I was wondering, honestly.
Can I approach the Bentavenia?
Yeah, stepping up to this figure, and he's still kind of got his back to you, and it looks like he's just, like, digging in a saddlebag, and as you get closer, roll insight.
15.
You get close, and he's, like, sorting through his saddlebag, but he's not, like, doing anything. He's just, like, moving it all to, like, one side and then moving it back to, like, the other side, and you kind of get closer and...
He's anxious.
The saddlebag, like, closes, and he kind of, like, straightens up his back and just kind of, like, moves his head slightly. And he's still wearing head-to-toe full armor. You see his eyes from beneath his visor.
Your name is Bentevenia, correct?
Yes.
It's a pleasure to work with you. My name is Honto.
Just, like, nods.
These are the rest of my party members. Levi. Rook.
Hello, Bentevenia.
Cree.
Can I call you Benti?
If you want, yeah.
Benti.
His voice kind of echoes from beneath this helmet. You don't. Can't really tell. You would think so, because you can see looking through. And now that you're kind of close to him, roll perception.
18.
From this distance, as you close the distance, you can see, I mentioned his visor covers his face, but you can see his eyes from beneath. If he is a human, he looks to be burned.
Ooh.
Or scarred in some way.
Okay.
And he kind of like locks eyes and notices that you're like looking through him, and he shifts his eyes back over. He's got these blue steely eyes. Call me what you like. I will take up the front. The sun will be in the middle. And the four of you can take up the back.
Okay.
Okay, if you need me to scout, I have no problem, going ahead. That's what I'm good at.
It's quiet, just kind of like shifting his glance around, nods again.
All right, let's go.
Yep.
While they're doing that, meeting Benti, can I run out to the, back to the guild?
Yep.
Tell him I'll meet him ahead.
Yep. Back to the guild and doing what?
Just giving this package, giving my address, the address of the closest post office to my home, and ensuring that this gets out on the next delivery out.
She's understanding it is going to be 5 copper for postage.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm glad you fucking agree.
Double. Double. Can you put 2 on there? That gets it.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, there you go.
Sure, we'll take special care of it.
Give her 10.
So as Levi kind of runs ahead, goes to the Adventurers Guild, which is close by, Bentevenia mounts his tortoise. Asan gets on the front of his caravan, begins to get his cattle into gear, and begins making his way out. Reconvening with the four of you, who's driving this bus? Who's driving the cart? And where's everyone else positioned?
I'm driving. No?
I'm walking this bitch, man.
Yeah, you're walking. I'm driving this.
I mean, what speed are we going at? Like,
similar to a walking speed, you would say.
Okay, I want to walk next to Bentivenia.
Do you try to get close to him?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Stepping up close. Yeah. Continuing out through the bottom of, Kincaidine, this southern edge that runs around and through Claybend. Time passes. You are next to Bentivenia for some time before he kind of like looks down. When we leave town, we're going to pick up speed. You may want to get in your cart.
Okay, so be it. I just wanted to know, there's 4 of us, we could have some in the front. We don't need all 4 of us in the back.
We'll be picking up speed. But for now, yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Is there room on his tortoise?
For you, yes. For anybody else, probably not. If you were to want to mount this tortoise, you would probably have to crawl up his leg.
As we're walking, I want to say, yes, I don't think it would hurt at all to have some of us in the front. I mean, I don't know about you, but just the other week we killed a basilisk, and I grab his leg to climb.
You begin to try to climb him?
Yeah, like without, I'm just trying to climb
him. This guy doesn't want this at all.
Please stop.
That's okay, I'm just coming right behind you.
Pause.
Still trying to climb
up. Doing what?
I just, as swiftly as possible, try and hop behind him on the tortoise.
Roll athletics.
Three.
Scuttering up, and he kind of makes this groaning noise as you're scuttering up him, and he kind of kicks his leg a little bit, and you kind of fall back in the sand, and he stops the tortoise for a second and looks to you as you scutter back up, and he goes, "I'm sorry, I have burns, and it hurts when you do that."
Are they fresh? Fresh burns?
He's just kind of like looking back at you, looks back ahead, and shifts the tortoise into gear. Begins to make heavy footfalls. Shifts it into
gear. Yeah, if he's like taking off, like,
it's in a fourth gear.
I just like stop as like to let him continue and just kind of sit and wait for, you know, the mule to catch up, and I hop on.
Yep. You guys have been moving for maybe about 2 hours. As Claybend comes into view, you guys should be going, and you guys remember this from your travels to Talverna and beyond. You know that the chalk roads that line, you know, most of this city and beyond should be coming up into view pretty soon as you guys continue on. Any conversations that you guys have before you guys hit this chalk road as you see it come up in the distance? Any conversations that happened over the last 2 hours, I suppose?
No, just driving this bus.
Yeah, I want to kind of have my back to him. Like, if he's driving it, like, the back of the cart that backs up to him.
Yeah.
And I want to be finishing my sketches with my chalk of... Or, not finishing, but adding in detail as I see more.
Gotcha. And, like you set up last session, you have now this canopy almost over the back of the cart, providing shade, which is very, very much appreciated by Kree, I would imagine, as well. Being able to kind of sit in the back of the cart and not have to, you know, fear the sun.
Yeah, he's not using it, though. But it was whatever. It's just for him.
No, I'm in the cart.
Okay. No, go walk.
As you guys do hit this road, you guys do pick up speed, and you hear the clopping of hooves from not only the two camels that are basically being dragged along by the ox cart. You know, there's a special word for it, and I forget what it is when, like, someone drives a horse carriage. Yeah, I forget what it is. Not jockeyed, but being pulled by the ox cart that's being driven by Asan, as well as the clopping of the hooves of your own mule. Continuing on, Honto, it's not difficult for you to match this speed at all, and if this is an increased speed, which it seems to be, this is not going to be a problem for you to keep pace at all throughout this entire journey. You guys continue out as Claybend begins to dissolve into the distance, and the sun sets, and night begins to fall. You guys are on the outside edge of Claybend. You're still within the city limits of King Kadeen, and you notice that Asan kind of begins to pull the cart off into the dunes a little bit. He shouts back, "We'll make camp for the night here."
Okay, yeah, let's pull over.
Pulling over, Asan takes some time. Looks like he takes some materials out of the back of his cart, erects a small campfire, lays out what looks like a sleeping bag of sorts. Bentavenya, much the same, pulls some stuff out of his saddlebag. Looks like he sets up a small little container. Not sure exactly what it is, and he too pulls out like a tarp. Looks like he lays down some padding. Stars are beginning to come out. The cold night is starting to creep in. Wind whistles on the edges of these dunes. It seems like the spot that Asan had picked out is fairly well... I don't want to say camouflaged, but the way that the dunes are structured, it gives you some amount of being hidden from the main road and beyond. So it seems like it is a well thought out spot to make camp. Asan takes time, lights the campfire, kind of looks over to the four of you. And what are you guys doing?
I'll meditate by the fire, and I want to paint as well. You know, while I do it,
take some time to paint.
I want to go and sit by Bento Venya.
He seems to be kind of on the edge of, right on the edge of where the campfire would provide heat, sitting down, not actively hiding or turning away, but just at a distance. He sees you approach. He's still wearing his full armor, hasn't lifted his visor or taken off his gauntlets or greaves.
Pop a squat next to him, and I'm like, I'm cold-blooded. I don't need to be close to the fire either. It's a little too warm for me.
He's quiet.
I'll sit in it. Sit in the silence.
Sit in the silence. You notice Hassan pulls out some rations. Seems like he begins to eat a prepared meal for himself. Anything else that you guys do before bedding down for the night?
Do we decide on how we're going to do, like, watches and all that? Or are we just kind of...
If you guys want, like I mentioned, I'm assuming anytime you guys are sleeping outside of a civilized area, you guys are keeping watch. We're not going to take the time to assign who's on watch every single time. Oh, I'm taking first, oh, I'm taking second, oh, I'm taking third. I'll pick one of you guys randomly if there is something that occurs on a watch. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. Bentavenia is quiet. Hassan is quiet, but does make some small talk here or there. Unless asked any direct questions, he won't really talk too much. Bentavenia does not really say a word as you kind of sit close to him. You notice his breathing more than anything kind of sounds a little heavy, echoing and raspy. When he eventually does stand up and seemingly bed down, he sleeps in his full plate armor. Lays on his side.
What a fucking weirdo this guy is. Menti.
It's like sleeping in
fucking
jeans.
Fucking weirdo. Doesn't take him off. What the fuck?
Hassan, as well, tends to his cattle and camel before bedding down. And you guys go to sleep, taking watch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watches end uneventfully as you guys awake on the second of a seemingly 21-day journey. Making your way out, much the same. This day is uneventful as you leave the outer perimeter of King Kadeen, passing on the chalk road, heading west. This day, much the same as the one prior, as I mentioned, ends uneventfully, but are there any conversations or anything that you guys have on this second day?
No. Rook, you still good? You still good driving this whole time?
It's so funny to think of, like, of that, like, driving. Like, I'm done. What am I doing? Holding the rope?
And, like, kind of kind of like pulling him when he looks like he's getting distracted by some brushes or something.
I'm like,
no, I got this.
Nah, just checking on you.
I forget. We don't have a name for this mule, right? He never said that he had a name, right? Did I ever ask him? I thought I did. And he just didn't have a name, right?
I don't think you asked him. No, I don't think you asked him.
I never asked him. Just imagine we're just like,
hey.
Hey.
What's your name anyways?
What's your name?
Name?
What is that?
It's what people call you. Like, my name is Rook. Nice to meet you. You can call me Rook.
No.
Do you want a name? It could be anything.
He's quiet. Deep in contemplation. Halts his footfalls and looks up towards the sun.
Apple or turnip, maybe? I think turnip is perfect.
Yeah, I like turnips.
Back to walking.
I throw him that turnip. I never gave it to him until
it
just
hits
now.
Him in the back of the head because you throw a fucking mule a turnip. What are you doing?
All right. I'm sorry. I get Honto's attention and I make Honto give him a turnip. I say,
can you give turnip this? This turnip?
You're calling him Turnip?
That's his name. His name's Turnip.
I put the turnip up to his mouth. He does like turnips.
He said that's what he wanted.
Okay, Turnip. Take us to the Urg.
And we're off.
Oh, yeah!
Fucking turnip. Turnip the black mule.
Continuing on for another day's travel before a camp is erected. Similarly to the night before, Bentivania stays on the edge. Asan, quiet as he is, enjoys a meal. Any conversations at camp that night before watches and sleep?
Want to go up to Benti.
Bentivania, who seems to... It's interesting, too, because as he kind of sits down, the tortoise as well collapses down, almost like sinking into the sand next to him, and rests his head down on Bentivania's lap. Bentivania kind of looks up, still wearing his armor.
I've never seen one this big.
They're rare, yeah.
Where'd you find him?
He was in the desert.
Beautiful creature.
He used to be much smaller.
Are they all this big, or did you train him?
Oh, I've seen them get this big sometimes.
How long you had him?
Long time.
I bet he can carry a lot, too.
He can, but I don't like to weigh him down if I can avoid it.
Does he have a name?
I call him Tuga.
Tuga.
Can I say hi to Tuga?
Yeah. What do you do?
Nice to meet you, Tuga. I'm Rook.
It's nice to meet you, too.
Sorry, just kidding.
What's your favorite food?
I like different grasses. Brush. Grass. Sticks and twigs sometimes.
Tasty. Nutritious.
Bentivania kind of like looking at you, kind of confused. Can you talk to him?
Yeah. I learned recently. I'm still practicing.
What's he saying?
He just told me his name and that he really likes grass and brush and twigs. I asked him what his favorite food is.
He likes that?
Yeah.
Huh.
He likes different types of grasses.
Can you ask him if the saddlebags are too heavy?
Tuga, is the saddlebags too heavy?
No, they're alright. They're fine.
They're alright. Tuga's strong.
Wow. Can you ask him if he likes me?
That'll cost you 1 gold.
I'm just kidding. Literally just fucking him.
Tuga, do you like Benti?
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing about him?
He's nice.
He said he hates you. I'm just kidding. He likes you. He said you're nice.
Kind of looks down, and you can hear the creaking of his armor as he kind of like nods to himself.
You seem like a... Well, I don't want to call you his owner, but... You're good to him. Give him more grass. He likes it.
And then I wink to him, and I walk away.
He's quiet and just like almost like self-contemplation as you walk back. Any other conversations in camp for the second night?
Hey, Rook. Any of these fellas got secrets? Nothing. Not even here, but just in general. Bet some animals know some things.
I know.
Seen some things.
I'm trying to, get on the good side.
I like that.
They're usually pretty simple when they answer to me, so they don't go into too much detail.
Simple conversation, huh?
Very.
Huh. All right. Checks out. Bed down.
checks out.
I want to,
What the fuck do you mean by that? I'm gonna fucking kill you!
I'm gonna fucking kill you right now! I'm gonna kill you!
Money, I'm gonna fucking paint the walls red!
Can't wait for that moment.
The day Rook crashes out, dude.
Slow crash.
Just starts fucking cutting people's arms off for no reason.
Die, 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 motherfucker!
Going forward, every night, if we're in travel like this, I want to meditate and paint. And I want to, like, I want to do that comparison of, you know, the picture progressing. But,
At this point, especially on this first and second night, very abstract. Almost nonsense. Idle hands, you would imagine. You know that there's probably more, but it's very, very abstract these first couple of nights. But I'll assume on every night here, you'll be doing that. Watches and sleep.
Yeah. When I talk to the animals, can they hear what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
And then it's just like, yeah, they just don't hear what the animal says or whatever.
What? I don't know.
That's what I'm like. I'm assuming he could hear everything I was asking.
I'm going to say, because it is a class feature and it's not technically speak with animals, because I'm not sure of the exact mechanics of speak with animals, I'm going to say that because we're treating it almost as like an at-will speak with animals with a few caveats, blah, 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 no one really fucking cares. You're speaking common when you talk to these animals.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. And the animals themselves aren't making noise.
Okay.
It's almost as if you're like inferring this language
from...
They just
respond to me telepathically.
Not telepathically.
Okay, well...
That's like a specific thing.
In
the language of this class feature, it's like you're interpreting their movements and stuff
as if it were
a language. So, you guys go through your process of watch, awake the next morning, and get back on the road. You are now far from King Kadeen, and you know that if you make a right ahead, you may end up eventually at Talverna. But instead, you continue westward. Continuing down on the chalk road, no travelers that pass your eye. This day, as the previous two, ends uneventfully, and another night of camp. Anything that you guys want to do at camp on this third night, before bedding down? Honto, meditating and painting.
I want to see Honto painting and like walk up. To Honto and kind of like just peek over, and I don't know, like at a first glance, like over the shoulder, can Kree make anything out?
What does this process look like, and also what might be on the page?
What's on the page just looks like a bunch of fucking, it's random as fuck. But it's like, so he's like crisscross applesauce on the ground, meditating, but in his lap, in his journal, it's he has a little like a journal of parchment paper, and then like a container of like watercolor paints, and just like a tiny little vial of water and a dish to put it all in, so he can kind of just like pick up with each of his, you know, little claws. He can just kind of dip a color in and smear it, and then use his fur and smear different colors around and blend stuff. And he's doing it all. If you walk around like in front of him, his eyes are completely, it's shut. He's meditating. He's just drawing what he's thinking and feeling and seeing internally.
Well,
whatever the fuck that is, because it looks random as shit, you know.
When you finish, I wanted to say, like, do you know what you're painting as you're doing it, or?
I paint what I see, but I've been there once or twice. I just struggle to get there most of the time, and. I hold up the shitty painting, and this is the struggle. It will get clear.
It's a place you've been to before, I assume.
Yes.
Well, I'd love to see it come to fruition someday.
Yo, it will, Kree. It will. I shut the journal and go back to the fire.
Kree smirks and starts chuckling with him as he also walks towards the fire.
Making your way back to the fire, Asan is there. It looks like he's like eating something. He looks up towards the two of you and also anyone else who might be towards the fire, and he goes, "So we're roughly 7 days away from the Avon Castillo. Technically, I believe we are now in the Grand Erg. I would just be on guard. Have any of you been to Drasul or the Avon Castillo yet?"
Nope.
No?
No.
They technically fall under the Sarninian royal family. They're a lesser royal family. I believe, if history serves me correctly, they used to be executioners for the Sarninians. And they were granted a castle, and they rule over the Grand Erg. I've interacted with a few of the nobles there before, and they like me well enough. There's a blacksmith that works for them that I'm keen to give work when I can. He's the one to replace the axle, fix it as best he can. Shouldn't take him more than a day. And while we are in Drasul and the Avon Castillo, feel free to make any purchases you need.
I'm sorry, did you say you know the name of the family?
Avon. The Avon family, yes.
Have I ever heard of them?
Roll history.
Nine.
No. Probably tracks, considering he mentioned they're like a lesser noble family. I've interacted with the countess of the family before. She's keen on me. Very friendly. I have not met the count as of yet. Drasul is a small village. The castle is practically the size of it, and the castle grounds. As I said, we expect to be there in 7 days. We are making good time so far.
Seems like we are. And a tight little place with a... I don't know. Just a nice little tight nook. Didn't hurt nobody. Might be nice.
Perhaps. I much prefer the skies. Years ago, when my wings worked properly, I could fly. Kind of looks longingly at the fire for a second. Rubs a clawed hand across his crooked beak. Goes back to eating in silence.
I say I haven't done it in a while, but perhaps when you were in the skies flying, I was underneath the earth digging.
And yet we are men of similar stature and capacity, would you say?
Yes, I would say so.
I know better than taking to the skies as you beneath the earth. I heard a frightening story from a merchant as I was returning from the Scorch with Bentivenia. of the Grand Urg. It's been on my mind. He mentioned, and I have no idea how truthful it was, that he had heard from another merchant witnessing an Ifriti. Have you heard of them before?
Have I?
roll Arcana.
Okay. 2 2.
Do you answer him?
Yeah. No, I haven't heard of that.
Some call them fire genies. Calm deserts, calm winds. The merchant was saying that the merchant he was speaking to stopped to fix a wheel on his wagon. Dead silence, and immediately engulfed in flames, descended upon by elementals of fire. The merchant was spared, but the story is frightening nonetheless, that even amidst the silence of the sands here, danger can lurk unprovoked. I have never seen such a thing, so I cannot speak to its truth.
I have to ask then, you seem like a man who likes his insurance. Have you seen anything out here to truly prompt you to hire us? Or are you just trusting, again, your insurance?
Oftentimes, well, I'd say more often than not, I trust in the word of my fellow merchants. Because in this line of work, you have no other person you can trust other than yourself. But a merchant can trust another merchant, I believe. I come to that conclusion based off of the flow of commerce. Many merchants worry about where their coin comes from. But the smart merchant worries about where his coin goes. Merchants who buy from other merchants, we are a brotherhood. And I trust them. So when I hear stories from other merchants speaking of cults who prey on travelers at night, worshipping lichen gods, or I hear of the warring orc clans who thrash and kill any traveler, I take the word as fact. So what has spurred my hiring of you, some may call rumors, but in my line of work, I have to take them as fact. I have a pride, and I have an ego, and I was, at one point, a capable man, a capable warrior. Those days are gone now. And truthfully, it pains me slightly to have to hire a guard. But I'm not stupid. I know that I might need it.
Kriya chuckles a little bit at that last statement. I think we are similar in the respect that, you know, my God willing, I reach the age that you're at where I can no longer fight but can still live. But I do think that we're different in the regard that you are trusting the word of your brothers and fellow merchants and whatnot. It's not something I've done for a long time, and it's brought me above ground. And despite the ill circumstance that brought me above from the tunnels that I dug. It seems to be rewarding me so far, at least.
Well, the thing of what your eyes can see, where you are when you change the environment you're in, is a two-way street. In one sense, broadening your horizons can bring new introspections. When you change the environment you're in, you find new things about yourself and how you react to them. But in the same way, your own eyes, they cannot always be trusted. Take the desert mirage, for example. It won't be soon until we start to see them. Dancing lights on the edges of the dunes. Skittering streaks of water that are not there. But our eyes see them nonetheless. So, even though one might go to lengths to broaden their horizons, they may not be able to trust what they see. So, in lieu of my eyes, oftentimes I trust other people as well.
I assure you, you can trust us because there's gold involved, Asan. And I trust these three with my life. But I don't have much advice to give, but the only thing that I can say is don't trust many.
I trust those that I can. I trust Bentivenia, for example, because of his actions. Months ago, as I said, I was lost, low on water. I may be withholding, because in reality, I was dying. Dehydrated, I hadn't had a sip of water in days. I was not lost. I was lost. Kind of like looks off. In my dazed state, I saw a gauntlet reach into the sands and pull me out, and it was him. Give me water. Helped me back, found my caravan. Actions lead to trust, and my action is giving you money.
I smirk, throw my hand on his shoulder as I stand up, stretch it out, and I say, and in return, we are your water, we are your food, and we are your insurance.
And for that, you have my trust.
Start walking away into the horizon. No, I'm just kidding. Just back to,
see you guys
back
later.
Never come back.
Rip up your character sheet.
That's it.
Bedding down and taking watches for the night. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Whenever it's my watch, if everybody's asleep, I want to go talk to, what the fuck's his name again? Targo?
Tuga.
Tuga the tortoise.
Sure. Looks like he's sleeping, but every so often...
Like, is he sleeping, like, right next to the guy?
Pretty close, yeah.
Okay.
But sometimes you might catch him, maybe on other nights, like, before this point, where he's just a little bit separated from him, and it seems like it would be appropriate for you to kind of have a quiet conversation. And
okay. I just want to quietly go up to him and ask... Hey, Tuga. How did Benti get those burns? Were you there?
He gave it to himself.
By accident?
No.
He burned himself?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Is it his whole body?
Head to toe.
Why does it keep his armor on?
Oh, he can't take it off.
Is his skin stuck to it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck. How long ago did that happen?
Oh, a couple years.
cries at night sometimes. Because it hurts.
It's awful.
He likes it.
What do you mean?
He likes it.
That's why he did it to himself.
Just kind of quiet.
I don't know.
Is he a human?
He was.
What do you mean, was?
He doesn't look like one now.
But he is human.
Just kind of these blank, black eyes from this turtle looking back at you.
Thanks, Tuga.
And I go to the rest of my watch.
Yep, completing your watch. Awaking on the fourth day. Breaking camp. Making your way back onto the main road. And continuing on. Any conversations that morning or until like midday?
Like, are we just walking and he's in the front and what, Levi's with me in the cart?
Yeah, Levi's in the cart with you.
Is Kree still? Well, he's in the cart, right?
Yeah, I'm in the cart. Under the shade.
Okay, I want to tell them what I was told last night. And I'm like quiet. I don't want Hassan hearing it either.
I talked to Tuga, that's the tortoise, last night, and did you guys notice Benti? It's all burned up. He did it to himself. And his skin is burned into his suit of armor, and that's why he doesn't take it off. It's really horrible, that's what I said, but Tuga said he likes it. He said he cries himself to sleep sometimes because it hurts, but he likes it. It was an odd
I can't believe I didn't smell that.
What do you mean smell that?
To each his own.
Probably smells like shit.
I just thought it was odd.
Think he knows what he's talking about? The turtle? Think he knows what he means when he said he did it on purpose?
I believe him.
Oh.
His god was like Hanyo?
Yep, that's what Hassan said.
Can I roll something to see if that is it for religious reasons?
Go ahead and roll religion.
12.
You do not know the specifics of it, but you have heard of this god before, Hanyo. All you know is that this god, whether it is a male or a female, is oftentimes referred to as the Lord of Light and the Sun. That's what you know.
Yeah, how's this guy pissing shit?
Roll medicine.
What is that? Oh. Wow.
Oh.
10?
You don't know, and it sends a shiver up your spine.
Hey, Rook, you heard anything about that in your books? Shit, you ever return
can I roll
that?
For that? No.
Did you ever give that back for
me? No, I didn't. They're going to be really mad at me, but...
Nah, they'll get over it.
What am I going to do? I'll try and keep it safe. Maybe I'll read it again. Maybe I missed something. But no, I never saw anything about that.
Well, I do know that the god that he worships is like a sun god. So it's possible that he's doing it for religious purposes.
Or did it for religious purposes. Maybe I'll ask Tuga that, next time.
You hear a voice shout from the top of this line, likely where Bentivenia is, go, "Obstruction! Stop the carts!" Peeking over, Rook, maybe even kind of like peering your head to see ahead past Asan, past Bentivenio on top of Tuga. You see in the distance, maybe about 100, 200 yards, what looks like a cart lying on the road long ways. Bentivenio hops off of the tortoise. Asan stays on the cart. What do you guys do?
He hops on the tortoise. Is he walking towards it?
No, it looks like he's just standing there almost like looking.
All right, I go up to him. How about I go scout this out?
Come with you. It may be a trap ambush. Likely tactics of bandits.
We can handle ourselves.
Perhaps.
Let's approach cautiously.
He looks back towards Asan and just kind of like gives a nod. Looks towards you, gives you a nod, begins to walk up towards it.
Yeah, kind of go a little wide too, you know.
Mm-hmm. And taking a look ahead, if this is an ambush, like he says, there's no good spots to hide in the dunes around you. It's not like the dunes are risen to a point that would allow someone to hide behind. It's pretty flat here. So if there is anything that you're not immediately seeing, it would be directly behind this cart. Like I mentioned, it's long ways. Closing the distance a little bit, you can see the cart is actually on its side. Looks like the top canopy of it is ripped. Getting closer?
Yeah, and like I said, I'm definitely going a little wide on it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bentivenio, staying on a straight path directly towards it, you kind of going a little bit wide. He's matching your pace as you progress closer, and eventually you're able to hit an angle where you can see the other side of it, and it looks like there's nothing there. Getting a little bit closer now, you're able to make out some more details. The cart is on its side. The top canopy is ripped. And on top of it, you see streaks of red on this white canopy. Closer still, you notice that the wagon is missing a wheel. It is a wagon. It looks like it has a hitch to attach to some sort of beast of burden, which is not there. And you do see a foot sticking out from the bottom. Closer still, and now Bentivenio as well. Both of you are probably about 50 or so feet from it. You definitely can make out at least one corpse within this wagon. Closer still?
Yeah, I guess for... For 25 yards or 20 yards, I'll pause and, like, listen for 10 seconds. Like, do I hear...
Roll perception.
21.
No sounds. Nothing.
Okay.
Bentivenio gives you a nod, closing the distance, and it looks like he almost like picks up his pace as he gets even closer, and he begins investigating close on top of this caravan. He peeks his head out, looks towards you, maybe about 30 or so feet away. He says, 4 dead, nothing else.
No food or anything for useful for our travels?
You can take a look. I'll tell the rest to come closer.
I don't mean to be a scavenger. I just want to keep us going.
He's quiet as he begins walking back towards the carts.
I want to go up closer and just in general see if there's anything else in there that's useful or indicative of, you know, something happening.
Roll investigation. Four corpses in total. It looks like a man, a younger looking woman, and two younger looking boys. They are all deceased. Blood coats the inside of this wagon. There are no bags, there are no saddlebags, there are no barrels, buckets, crates, or any containers of any measure. The males here seem to be stripped of their top shirts, only wearing pants. They're covered in wounds. You can tell it looks like some sort of slashing instrument. Maybe a sword. You're not sure. The wagon is completely crashed. Axle is snapped. A wheel is maybe 10 or so feet away from it. Bentivenio gets closer. We can come up. We'll just have to go around it or maybe move the wagon.
Okay. Slowly go up. We'll turn it.
Yeah, can I get out of the cart and walk alongside them?
Yeah. And Bentivenio gets back on his tortoise, begins closing the distance. Anything else you do, Honto?
No. Just go back, you know, or wait for the group, kind of.
They close the distance, and it looks like Bentivenia dismounts off of the tortoise, maybe 30 or so feet away from this wagon. Looks like he steps up to Hassan and says something that you guys aren't close enough to hear. What do you guys do?
Can I get out and look at the bodies and see if I can tell how long they've been dead for?
Roll investigation.
This is day 4.
Day 4.
20.
You would think 2 or 3 days, and you see some dried blood and kind of begin to pick at it and would say probably 3 days.
Shit. Ugh. Damn. We gonna have to move these, or y'all got enough space?
Bentivenia walks up close, and it looks like he's got a shovel in his hand. I'm gonna bury them, and we'll move the cart. We're not gonna be able to get past. I don't want to risk putting any of the wheels from the wagons in the sand. It's too soft here.
You're burying them?
He gives you a nod.
How long you reckon that's gonna take you?
3 or 4 hours.
If we all get on it now, we can go a little faster.
Hassan has an extra shovel if you'd like to assist.
Nah, I start just taking parts off of the cart and throwing them to the side.
Mm-hmm. Begin, like, trying to dismantle the parts that would make it kind of uncumbersome to move, or I should say cumbersome to move. Bentivenia begins pulling out these bodies. What's everyone else doing?
Y'all help moving everything away?
Is there any, like, bushes around?
Looking around, no. It looks like pretty sparsely laid out vegetation.
Is anyone helping dig? I'll dig. I'll help dig.
You mentioned Hassan had a shovel.
Yeah, I'll dig.
Yeah. You go up and Hassan kind of reaches in the back of his cart and you can hear him like rummaging and he pulls out a shovel. Kind of puts it out.
Grab and go to work.
Go to work, begin digging?
Yep.
Bentivenia kind of digs into the dirt and begins moving at this sand that is very, very soft on top, but as you get like 2, 3, 4 inches down, it gets a little bit harder and begins digging, and he's quiet as he digs. Cree, what are you doing?
We're out of shovels, right? I walk up to Hassan and like, I'll just like stand, not really much I can do here. I'll just walk up to Hassan, just stand around with him.
Come across dead travelers a lot. I don't think I've ever buried a single one. I don't know if that's an expected thing.
Have you heard of Circle of the Vultures?
The Druidic clan. Yeah, north of King Cadine.
We're coming from there. And
yeah, much different burial practices.
This is the opposite of what they would want.
Well, perhaps they might not be right. Protection and anything, and there are folk in the Grand Erg that would do things to bodies. Have you ever heard of the corpse farmers of Darmont?
I have not.
They are here, south of Fort Chasm. I think they call themselves druids, but they take bodies much like these, grow mushrooms, and harvest maggots from the corpses. This is a twisted land.
Well, if we see them, I don't even know what we would do with them. They wouldn't attack us because we're alive, right? They only want dead bodies.
I'm not so sure. But they do not travel this far north in the Grand Erg. They stay to the south.
I see.
Time passes. Bentivenia is quiet as he digs his holes. He looks very focused. An hour goes by and you guys are able to clear out the wreckage, making it seemingly easy to pass. 2 hours go by. Pantavania has assisted with Rook, but been able to bury 3 of these corpses, just finishing off the 4th hole, pulling the small body in, shoveling dirt on top. He raises his head and looks towards you. Thank you.
No problem, Benti.
Slings the shovel on his shoulder and it makes like this clink as the head of the shovel taps against his armor and he begins walking back towards his tortoise. Anything that you guys do in those 2 hours after clearing the wreckage?
Then just keep watch.
Yeah.
Okay. Continuing on. Pentavenia gets back on his tortoise. Hassan begins getting his cattle into gear, and you guys as well, with your mule, begin making your way. The rest of the day progresses normally. Nothing of note until you guys make camp beneath the stars once more. On this 4th night, any conversations by the campfire or anything that you guys want to do before you bed down?
No, I'm good.
Same.
You guys sleep, take your watches, and wake on the 5th day. Making your way out, the morning after camp is broken is uneventful. The day passes very typically, and the sun begins to hang lower in the sky. Anything that you guys want to do during these first, say, 8 or 9 hours of travel? Also, to ask, are you guys keeping track of your rations?
I was literally just thinking of that, and I was just going to subtract how many days, like, we're keeping track of the days.
Yep, so whenever you guys get a chance, just, you know, just make sure you're doing it. But anything else for, you know, this day?
No.
So, there is a point where the sun is beginning to set, and purples and these deep, almost like bluish colors are starting to come out. And the travel has been fairly easygoing for the most part. You guys are traveling on flat terrain, so it's not too bad. And Hassan has always said on these previous days, you know, oh, here's where we're going to camp, here's where we're going to stop. He stops for a second, and it's a little earlier in the day before he says, look. Looking over to see a grove of dried trees kind of spread about in a pretty decent-sized semicircle. Maybe 9 or so trees in total. They look like mesquite trees, no leaves, no bushes or anything like that, no visible vegetation. But he says, that may be a good spot to make camp. Maybe we break early, set up here.
How much earlier than normal?
Be an hour or two.
Alright. Okay. Yeah.
Pulling off, setting up camp. The sun is still, like I said, just kind of barely beginning to go down. Hassan erects the campfire. Pentavania kind of sets out his little padded tarp and sits down. You guys make your way around, doing your various nightly rituals, but there still is a little bit of sun hanging in the sky. Everybody roll perception.
21.
4.
12.
13.
Honto, and maybe it's fitting, maybe you're meditating and you kind of break from it for a second because you feel the ground beneath you begin to rumble very, very slightly. Just this humming noise.
Do you feel that? Can you hear that?
Moment passes, a beat, 2 beats before you hear this, and everyone hears this deep rumbling. It's quickly rising in volume, this vibration. The ground begins to shake and shift. Hassan doesn't look panicked. Bentovania, maybe looking around, before you hear this deep, bassy explosion far to your right, maybe hundreds and hundreds of yards away, that sends this sand shooting out into the sky, hundreds of feet into the air. And from beneath the sands, hundreds of yards away, you see the source of this explosion as leaping out from beneath the sands, this massive, fleshy, oblong creature, preposterous in size. You would guess maybe that of a large building. And it's got these horn-shaped fins and this large, gaping, toothless mouth. And extending from its back, you see this thin pointed tail. It's pink, an almost translucent, almost like a baby newborn mouse. And it looks like a manta ray, albeit enormous. And it pops out of the ground and arcs, crashing, diving back into the sands, as if it were like a breaching whale. The sand that shot into the air when it came out now falls back to the ground, and even from this distance, it sounds like echoes of falling rain. And Asan, just like looking off, smiles a little bit out of his crooked beak, looks towards the four of you and nods.
Rook is fucking terrified.
Levi's looking like wide-eyed, but at him at this point, like waiting for the next sentence to come out of his mouth.
Yeah.
He points off in the direction that this giant pink manta ray breached and went back under and says, Pastanaka Reka. He smiles a little bit, recognizing that you look afraid. They're sand rays. They're harmless. Sensitive to sounds even as light as footsteps. They tend to stay far, far away from people and are usually a good sign that there's nobody nearby. I've seen them a handful of times before. None as close as that. Gentle creatures.
Rook's relieved.
Did I hear about this from the hunting expert?
No, you did not.
Okay.
That one was big, too.
You think you could go talk to it, Rook?
If it stays out of the sand long enough, maybe. I would love to. Even though it was really scary. I really would like to know its name.
Why don't you give it a name?
I'd have to talk to it first. Maybe one day.
Asan says, well, if nothing else, like I said, it's a sign we're on the right path and no one should bother us tonight.
Did the rumbling stop?
Yeah. Anything before you guys bed down for the night?
No.
Sleeping in your watches and awaking on the sixth day. Now, several days and several miles into the Grand Erg, the four of you find yourselves in the desert, protecting a man and in the company of another. And that's where we're going to pick up next session.
Fucking Benty.
Benty.
Thank you for listening to this installment of Shadow of the Seven, a Nasty Table production.